Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Let's get the party started here on Grant and Danny, just after 3 o'clock. Trae Young traded to the Wizards. Bobby Marks of ESPN, one of our favorite hoops analysts, joins us now, former NBA front office exec. Bobby, Young to D.C. for C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert. Your reaction to that deal last night was what?
Yeah, not surprised. I thought certainly when you started to see, you know, the tea leaves earlier in the week, and, you know, listen, it's no surprise that Atlanta and Trae were looking at trade scenarios. I think that was probably something that started this summer. You know, the market wasn't probably as great as they would have liked. The record is the record. When, you know, them playing better without him certainly probably plays into this and everything. And I think you look at it from Washington's perspective. I think it's more probably about next year and years after that than really the current, you know, situation. Right now, it's a team that's, you know, was projected to have a lot of money this summer here. If you figure that he's one of your main targets in the offseason, if he became a free agent, you know, might as well go out and try to get him now and not wait until July.
What does it do financially for them? Go into some of those machinations. I know that's not as exciting for a lot of basketball fans. They want to talk about balls going in the basket, et cetera. But I think there's some pretty good upside here for Washington.
Oh, I agree. I mean, listen, when you look at, we could play the cap space game and say they could have $100 million if they didn't do the trade and they got all this money. But when you look at, you know, free agency wise, it's most of the free agents are probably over 30. Trey's 27, so he fits that timeline a little bit better here. But I think financially here, I think there's a couple ways to look at it. Trey has a player option for next year. It's $49 million. He is extension eligible, even with the trade right now. Basically, you would eliminate that player option, and you can extend him down. You can extend him up. You know, it doesn't mean that because he's making 49, it's going to come in at 49. So maybe it comes in at a little bit lower, and you got a compromise on the next deal. And I think at the worst case scenario, he opts in. You know, you're still probably looking at, you know, $40 to $50 million in cap space, and that includes your draft picks counting. So you still have a ton of flexibility. You still have most of these guys, on first round rookie contracts here. Nobody's up yet for an extension. I think the big question will be what happens with Chris at the deadline, who's the second player on one of these big expiring contracts, as far as what they go out and do with him here. But yeah, I mean, you took an expiring CJ and turned him into a player that was under contract here. So it puts a little bit of a dent, but as I said, you're going to go out and spend that money anyway. And if Trey figures to be part of what you're trying to do, then it makes all the sense.
It sounds like, Bobby, you think there's a chance that he doesn't opt in for the $49 million next year.
Is that was out there. Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. I think if there is an opportunity where you can work out a deal on a long-term contract at a lower number, I think that's an opportunity that both sides should certainly look at.
You're saying the Wizards and him or any team?
No, the Wizards and him.
Yeah.
I don't listen. If Trae Young became a free agent, it's hard to get back that $50 million in free agency from, you know, whether it be Brooklyn or Utah or Chicago or, I don't know, maybe one of the LA teams here. Like, that's, you know, the going rate is not $50 million for Trae Young in free agency here. So that's why I said, you know, can it come down lower? And then maybe it gives him some long-term security here. So I think that's certainly an option that you would probably want to look at too.
So from a basketball perspective here, just kind of go into the fit. I mean, to me, the Wizards don't really have a traditional point guard, and this is one of the assist percentage leaders in NBA history, right behind John Stockton. How does it affect the development of guys that are already on the rise? You mentioned the Keshawn Georges, the Trey Johnsons, the Alex Sars, et cetera. Sure. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's a guy that on a bad night will give you 20 and 10. Certainly one of the better passing guards out there as far as setting his teammates up. I thought last year, he was there was stretches of games where he was really, really good. So I think he'll help. I mean, I think, as you said, when you have a player like that on the floor, and I think you saw it a little bit with certainly the last probably month here with CJ and some of the younger players here, when you're starting to win games and you have a guy that either can score or set up your teammates. The Orlando game the other night was probably, example A as far as what can happen, what the good things can happen with this roster here. Then I do think it makes life a lot easier. Now, you have to have the right guys out there on the court defensively. I think that's certainly a priority. And we saw that, with Atlanta as far as, struggled in a little bit here. So, but I do think, I think we talk about his defense a lot, but as I said, you have a guy that, can give you 10, 11 assists per night and can try to help you win some games.
Bobby Marks of ESPN, Trae Young traded to the Wizards. You're listening to Grant and Danny here on The Fan. How do they go about shutting him down this season? Is that a lock? That pick's top 8 protected.
We need it, Bobby.
Way more about that pick than I do Trae Young.
We need it.
I know. It's going to be fascinating here because, that's going to be interesting. It's especially in a day and age where it feels like the league has their antennas up more as far as guys, shutting down. If the season ended right now, you would be in really good position, right? You're 10-26. It would be you would need in the four hole, potentially could move up. I think it's going to be interesting where the other teams are. Dallas, it's funny. Dallas is at 9 at 14-23. So, listen, you don't want to go on a, we all want to win games, but you don't want to go on a stretch of games where you're going to wind up handing that pick over, which is top 8. Protected here. So I do think, he's got a quad contusion right now. We'll see where he is with that. I do think there's a part of you where you're trying to integrate him in. And even if you're playing him, I don't think you have to play 30 to 35 minutes because you're basically going to try to see how he fits in with this group.
In terms of, again, you mentioned a contract between the two. That hadn't occurred to me, and I probably should have. I sort of viewed this as an upside play for everybody, where everyone's getting something out of it, kind of a marriage of convenience where Young might try to, kind of kickstart his career again. I think he's done some in terms of deposits, Bobby, to increase his rep. I mean, I know there was kind of this pulse about him out there that he maybe wasn't everybody's favorite teammate, that he was always kind of separate. It was like everyone's getting together and Trae Young was sort of separate from that. Now I think he's kind of done some, some work in that regard. But go into that, maybe the history, and maybe if it's not an extension, him kind of using this as a almost a second act launching point.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could look at it that way too, as far as whether it be this is kind of an audition, whether it be for the next 3 months, or if it's an audition for the next year and a half, as far as, with that here, I think there's the familiarity where you have, Travis Schlenk, who works in the Wizards front office, is the guy that drafted Trae in Atlanta. So I think you're looking at it from that perspective here, but I do think, getting him under your roof for the, I call it kind of pre-free agency here, where you get a guy under your roof for 3 months or 4 months and they, you figure out, hey, this is what we want to do long-term, both sides. Then maybe we rip up that team option.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
And then we our player option, and we look at doing something that makes sense for both sides.
talking to a great NBA analyst. We love having him on when significant news breaks. Feels like about once a year or so. We're hitting up Bobby Marks about the Wizards.
Explain this to us.
And getting the details and the lowdown. Today, it's on the Trae Young trade. So the idea of an extension, I want to double-click on that Danny just mentioned. A, does that mean you do think there is a path to him being the long-term point guard here with Trey Johnson at the two and Alex Saar and whatever the next iteration is? And then B, what would that extension actually look like numbers-wise?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, the rules have changed where it helps both the team and the player. In the past, if you had a player on a player option and you wanted to do an extension, you could only go off. You know, it couldn't be anything lower than that $49 million number for next year. You can now you have the ultimate flexibility as far as basically rewriting as far as whatever number you want to put in there, anywhere from $15 to $35 million here. I think, you know, the trade just happened. You know, is it going to be short-term, long-term? I think it's probably, if you're asking me right now, I think this is probably more of, if it works out, it's probably going to be something long-term. Now, the going rate, you know, with point guards out there, guys still in his prime here, you know, is he a max player? I think that gets thrown out a lot. What does your rest of your roster look like? Who's coming up for extensions? Who eventually do you have to pay? I think that's the beauty of, you know, that you have a lot of, as I said, a lot of guys on rookie contracts here. You got Corey's number just came off your books here. So is there a number that's, you know, is it 40 in that range? And I think, you know, a lot of it now is what's the percentage of the salary cap. As the salary cap goes, guys, you know, like a $50 million guy is like a $30 million guy, you know, like 10 years ago here. So I think that all has to be come into consideration here. And I don't think anybody's probably ready to jump in and get something done right away. But I do think that's a viable option for both sides to figure out.
Bobby, there was a time, it's not that long ago, as you mentioned, he's 27, where Trae Young was, I mean, lethal offensively. Unbelievable pick and roll player, among the best penetrators in the league, you know, whether it was to score himself with that floater or creating for teammates, the rim runner. Like, you could just envision the Clint Capella 2.0 just getting dunk after dunk, not being able to check him. Is he the same guy? I feel like he's maybe a step slower, still good, but maybe not that lethal superstar on offense anymore. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, there was a time, I mean, we can go all the way back to, we can go back to that New York series when, you know, he put basically the fear of God in Madison Square Garden, right? I mean, as far as what he was able to do, and here's a guy that's, you know, averaged 25 points in the playoffs, almost 30 games. Is he the same player that he was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago? Probably not. And I think that happens with everyone, but I still think, you know, his numbers are a little bit down. I mean, he's shooting 31% from three this year. Can you get himself back up to that 37 number? But I do think he's still a really, really good player in this league. I think who else is around him is important. You know, I think it's a little bit unfair saying, well, he's the reason why Atlanta's defense suffered, because I've watched some of these Hawks games when he hasn't played and they've given up 134 and 135 points without him on the floor. So I think that's a little bit of a scapegoat with that there. But I do think, as I said, it's a guy on a bad night. He's given you 20 points.
Yeah, touch on that. That's what I was going to ask you about. And the great Bobby Marks with us here on G&D. Defensively, I know a lot of stars that are great on offense but don't play defense. I know Luka's not terribly interested in it, and teams will target him in the finals or whatever. But there's also a limit that a 165-pound undersized guard can have defensively. How big a deal is that? It's worth it when my team is 27th in offensive rating. I'll take that trade-off, but going to him defensively.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, he's a smaller guard. I mean, that's the reality of it here. And I think we're in probably a little bit of a different generation here with I'm not saying every team has a 6'7", 6'8", Luka Doncic-sized, you know, guard that Trey's going to cover here. But I said, you know, that's probably the one thing I would be a little concerned now. But I do, as I said, I think if you have you know, who's on your roster, you know, whether it be Bilal or Trey, guys that maybe can guard a little bit bigger guards here. I think that will help him a lot.
Bobby Marks, ESPN, the Wizards have traded for Trae Young. I made the case earlier, fact or fiction this, because you are way smarter than I am. I feel like the value of this player has subsided over the last few years because it's easier to score than ever. And so having this incredible score, albeit a point guard who can also get assists, like I just feel like everybody can score. Am I off?
Well, you need guys that can score. I mean, this is a scoring league, and I know when we get to the playoffs, defense is basically will win you games here.
But like in a world where Denny Avdija is averaging 25,
sure.
I guess my point is the gap between like a guy who can score a little bit and Trae Young is not as big as it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, that's a good point. But I think things have changed. I think how teams run their offense is a lot different. How, some teams don't have a traditional point guard, and maybe you're playing through, whether it be Denny in Portland or some of these other players, whether it be Michael Porter Jr. in Brooklyn, right, who's averaging 26 points but averaged 17 in Denver here, where your roles are different. The roster is different. The style of play is different here. But I think when you're on a team with Washington with a lot of young players here, you're probably going to ask a lot more from Trae as far as based on what, different matchups and different nights bring to you.
Let's go into what his, new teammates will, what it'll kind of look like here maybe in a year or two, Bobby. In terms of Sar, my mouth is watering at the idea of him playing with a legit point guard that could set him up in that way.
Yep.
Where do you see Sar now and where could he go in a couple of years if this works?
You know, it's funny. I've said this a bunch of times, and it's when we look at players going from year one to year two, or year two to year three, the one thing we don't have is a camera in the gym in the off season as far as what they're doing. So when you make the type of leap that Alex has and will continue to do so, and you have him, under contract for another 2 years, basically he's below the average player salary, which is pretty nice to have. I think he's only going to get better. I really like what I've seen in Trae Johnson so far. He is only going to get better. You still have a group of, whether it be Will Riley and Bilal, and, we'll see how with Trae Young, with Bub, as far as what his role is going to be. You'll hopefully keep your first, and you got another first, at the end of the first round, which is OKC's. You've got a lot of flexibility. And as I said, all you have to do is hit on a couple of these first round picks, and that sets you up a long way. I mean, look at Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte's not ready to compete for a top six, but they drafted Con Knipple, and he's one of the favorites for Rookie of the Year. And that is what gets you from winning 15, 16 games a year to a team that you can build a foundation, and then all of a sudden now you're in one of the top six teams in the Eastern Conference.
You just said hopefully they keep their first. There's no way they don't, right?
I mean,
just no way.
Would be surprised.
That would be malpractice. Yeah. That's like a fireable thing, it feels like.
Yeah, that would be, I would be surprised as far as, and they're not the only one. Listen, the Utah's right there. Their pick goes to OKC if it falls out of the top eight here. I think
good.
Brooklyn probably
OKC
wants to keep
needs
their
some
pick.
Guys. So
yeah, they need
good.
Some help.
Well, and it's crazy. OKC's got that Clipper pick too, which is unbelievable. So yeah, I think I do think there's a priority to high priority to retain that first. And I think listen, they've got 26 losses. I think fourth most out of any team behind Indiana, New Orleans, and Sacramento.
Bobby, what would be the fine? Like game 82? Game 82, final possession, Wizards about to shoot for the win, Will Dawkins goes on the floor and tackles a guy, and the ball goes out of bounds. Like, what is the fine for Will Dawkins?
I don't know about that, but we saw the Mavericks 2-3 years ago, basically rested Luka and Kyrie, their pick would have gone to New York, fell, I think, out of the top 10. And they're actually competing for a play-in spot too, so that was equally worse, and they got fined $750,000. So the fine, what will probably happen, and if you're in the Wizards and you're a Wizards fan, you could care less, is there'll probably be some long-term ramifications how they go about addressing the tanking rules here, which hopefully you don't have to worry about in the future.
And tell Ted, I'll buy a couple more pretzels at Cap One Arena.
GoFundMe/CamBoozer, please.
Exactly. Bobby, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Okay, you got it. Take care.
Excellent, as always. Watch him on ESPN. Does such a good job breaking down the NBA.